Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 24, beginning with the 10th verse. This is our first lesson for this morning, this third Sunday of Easter. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, our text for today takes place in the middle of a large story about how Paul had to stand trial because of his faith. The story really begins three chapters earlier in Acts chapter 21. Allow me to summarize those chapters for you for a while. It's at the end of Paul's third missionary journey. Throughout this missionary journey, Paul had collected an offering for the poor living in Jerusalem. So at the end of this journey, Paul took this offering to take down to Jerusalem and give to the people from all their fellow Christians throughout the world. When he got to Jerusalem, he met with James and the other leaders of the Christian church there in Jerusalem. And they urged Paul and his companions to purify themselves according to Jewish law so that they wouldn't offend any Jews and so that they could enter the temple and worship. But while Paul was in the temple, after he went there after 7 days, after the purification process was over, he entered the temple. And while he was in the temple, some Jews from Asia Minor recognized Paul. Now see, Paul had traveled through Asia Minor, spreading the gospel on many different occasions. Those Jews recognized him. They didn't appreciate Paul's message of Christ. And they mistakenly thought that Paul had taken a Gentile into the part of the temple that only Jewish males were allowed to enter. So they incited a riot. They claimed that Paul was against Jewish teachings, and that he had defiled the temple. So people all throughout the city came rushing into the temple to attack Paul. The Roman tribune and his soldiers saw the commotion. They rushed into the temple and got everyone off of Paul who were trying to beat him to death. And they had Paul arrested, bound by chains. They led Paul out of the temple, but as he got to the top of the steps of the temple, he pleaded to the Roman tribune to let him speak. His wish was granted. So Paul stood on top of the temple and addressed the crowd, those Jews, in their native language of Aramaic. And there he began to tell them about his conversion. He was a Jew, zealous for the Jewish teachings. In fact, for a while, he persecuted Christians. He went throughout the land with the authority of the high priest and he arrested those Christians and threw them in jail. Once, he was on his way to Damascus in order to arrest some Christians in Damascus and throw them in jail. And the bright lights appeared. It was Jesus who appeared on that road to Damascus. Jesus, who had died, appeared to him. He wasn't dead, but alive. The teaching that he had spent years persecuting, that teaching that he hated, was actually the truth. Jesus was alive. And he brought Paul to faith, and Paul was baptized by a man named Ananias. And then Jesus appeared to Paul again later on and told him, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. But before, those Jewish men were shouting away with him, and now they became even more angry with Paul. So they attacked him. Fearing for his life, the Roman tribune and the soldiers rushed Paul out of the temple, once again saving his life. And he gave the command to have Paul flogged. But Paul was a Roman citizen. And he appealed on behalf of his Roman citizenship so that he could be spared of the flogging. The next day, the Roman tribune wanted to get to the bottom of this. He wanted to see why the Jews were so angry at Paul, so he called together the high priest and the Jewish council, or the Sanhedrin, and had Paul stand trial before the Sanhedrin to see what crime he had committed. So then Paul stood before the Sanhedrin and this Roman tribune and had to plead his case. And as he stood in front of that group, Paul came up with a plan. You see, Paul realized that he was standing before Pharisees and Sadducees, and these two Jewish sects, they didn't get along whatsoever. You see, Pharisees, they followed all of the books of the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament as we know them today. They loved books like Job and the Psalms and Isaiah. And so they believed in the resurrection of the dead. They believed in angels and demons and heaven and hell and so on. But the Sadducees, on the other hand, they only followed the books of Moses, the first five books of the Old Testament. And since those scriptures don't explicitly lay out those doctrines, they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe in heaven or hell or angels or demons or so on. Paul wanted to show the Roman tribune that he had committed no crime, that he had done nothing wrong. He was put on trial because of his faith and what he confessed. So he said, "I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead." Well, this started a whole argument between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees wanted to kill Paul, and now the Pharisees were backing him up a little bit. That argument escalated quickly. And Luke tells us that Paul had to be taken away so that he would not be torn to pieces by the crowd. That night, a group of 40 Jews came together to form a conspiracy. They would ask to see Paul again, and in the middle of the night, they would ambush Paul and kill him. But Paul's nephew found out about their plan. He alerted the Roman tribune, so the Roman tribune took 470 soldiers who secretly led Paul out of Jerusalem and took him to Caesarea, the administrative center of the governor of Judea. There, in Caesarea, Paul was to stand trial before Governor Felix. The Jews were given about a week to get their case together, and they were led by a lawyer named Tertullus. Tertullus was given the opening statement, finally, before Governor Felix. And Tertullus claimed that Paul was the ringleader of this Jewish sect of the Nazarenes, named after Jesus' hometown of Nazareth, and that this Jewish sect was causing riots throughout the empire. And then Paul finally had a chance to speak. Finally, we get to our text for today. Now just think of everything that led up to our text. Paul stood on trial. Why? Not because he had committed a crime. He stood on trial because of his faith. He was attacked because he preached Christ. He was hated by the Jews because the Jews didn't want to hear about Jesus. They didn't want to hear anything about someone who was put to death, was sentenced to death by the Sanhedrin, and yet was raised to life. You don't want to hear Jesus. Sounds similar to today, to a certain extent. People today don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to hear about someone who is God and man at the same time, or someone who died but rose from the dead. It's offensive to their reason. It doesn't make sense. impossible, so they reject it. And they mock and ridicule anyone who believes such a thing. How could you be so foolish or gullible or stupid or ignorant to believe such nonsense, to believe some fable that has absolutely no proof? They say the same thing about his teachings. They laugh at those who deny evolution because God said he created the world in 6 days by his word. And they don't want to hear Jesus. They don't want to hear his word. And they also don't want to hear it because it goes against the way they want to live their life. Or the way they look at themselves. And by nature, we think we're pretty good. That there is a little bit of good in each one of us. That we can do good and save ourselves. We don't want to hear that we are completely dead in our transgressions and sins. They were born into sin and deserve God's wrath and punishment, and there is nothing that good that lives in us. People want to live the lives that they want to live. And they don't want to be told otherwise. They don't want to be told that what they are doing is sinful. So they label those that do as bigots, or they call us intolerant. They want to do what they want to do, and no one dare tell them otherwise. How dare you judge me and tell me how I should live my life? People don't want to hear Jesus. They don't want to hear his word. They're offended by his teachings, and so they put us on the trial in the court of public opinion. They attack us and ridicule us and mock us. They try to shame us. So what do we often do? Well, it's hard to always share your faith. It's hard to always stand strong in the face of adversity. So sadly, we often cower. We often cave under the pressure. We often keep our mouths shut, and we often fail to show our faith. Now, we often don't want friends to know who we are and what we believe. It's almost as if we're ashamed of Christ. We don't share our faith with others. We don't want them to judge us or mock us or ridicule us. We often don't share our faith with our co-workers. We don't want to get in an argument about religion. We just don't want to offend anybody. We want others to live at peace with us and to like us, to not look down upon us or make fun of us for what we believe. So we come to the conclusion it's just not worth it. It's not worth all the hassle of sharing your faith. It's not worth letting people know who you believe in and who you follow. So instead of sharing our faith, we keep our mouths shut. Instead of telling someone in need about their Savior, we don't say a word. And when someone attacks Christ or his teachings, we keep our mouths shut so we don't have to face any affliction. Sadly, that's what we often do. Well, look at the example of Paul. What did Paul do? Well, Paul stood strong. He didn't back down. He didn't cower in the face of trouble. In fact, Paul knew trouble was coming. Towards the end of his third missionary journey, he met a prophet named Agabus. And Agabus told Paul that if you go to Jerusalem, you would be arrested and bound in chains. So Paul's companions pleaded with him not to go down to Jerusalem. But Paul replied, "I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of our Lord Jesus." That, of course, came true. And as Paul stood bound in the temple, and he addressed those Jews, he clearly confessed Jesus as a lie, as the Lord of his church. Then before the Sanhedrin the next day, he clearly confessed his faith in the resurrection. The same thing he said before Governor Felix in Caesarea. For in verse 15 of our text, Paul said, I have the same hope in God as these men, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. Paul stood firm. He didn't back down. He knew that he didn't commit any crime by preaching Christ, so he was bold and he was confessed his faith. Paul would do that throughout his life. He put his life in danger again and again for the sake of Christ and for the sake of telling others about their Savior, who is willing to suffer and die to tell others about Jesus. And eventually he would die for sharing his faith. Now, how could Paul do such a thing? How could Paul be so bold and so confident as to spread God's word no matter what the ramifications were? Well, Paul knew the power and promises of the Lord. When Paul stood in prison after he testified in Jerusalem, Jesus appeared to him, and he said, don't worry, you just spread the gospel in Jerusalem, you will also get to spread the gospel in Rome. God knew. Paul knew about God's promises. Paul knew that Jesus was watching over him, that Jesus would guard him and protect him. He knew that Jesus was with him every step of the way. Paul knew the scriptures. He knew words like Psalm 118, when the psalmist said, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Paul expressed his faith in Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul also saw the resurrected Savior. He appeared to him on the road to Damascus and at other times, so Paul knew the power of the resurrection. Jesus had died, but now he lives. Jesus has power over death because he rose from the dead. And if Jesus lives, Paul knew that he too would live. Paul knew that no matter what happened to him, he would live in heaven with his Savior forever. So Paul had nothing to fear. He stood strong in the faith of the resurrection. And so he confessed his faith boldly in front of others. You too know the power of the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead, and so will you. Jesus lives, and so will you. Jesus lives in heaven forever, and so will you. Doesn't matter what man might do to you. The Lord is for us, who can be against us? What can man do to me? Doesn't matter what they try to do to you, because they can do you no real harm. Even if they kill you, you will end up in heaven. Far better off than living on this earth. You have a perfect life with your perfect Savior. A life free from sin, free from pain, free from sorrow, free from torment. A life free from sinners. Free from those who try to hurt you or harm you or persecute you or kill you. You also know the power of the cross. Your sins were nailed to Jesus on that cross. Everything you have done wrong was put on his shoulders and paid for by his blood. Everything you have done wrong, including all the times that you denied knowing Jesus, all the times that you failed to share your faith or you kept your mouth shut instead of telling others about him and his word, Christ has paid for those sins. God has forgiven you through Christ, and he put a stamp of approval on Christ's payment by raising him from the dead. Your sins have been removed. Your sins have been paid for. You have been given Christ's perfect His pure and holy life. You stand forgiven before God. And so you know where you will be when you die. You will be in heaven with your Savior forever. Therefore, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Man can do nothing to you. You have God on your side. They can do you no real harm. Because no matter what, even though they might persecute you, they might mock you, they might put you on trial, they may even kill you, you still have Christ. You still have your Savior who suffered and died to rise from the dead. And so you can stand firm in the resurrection. Because like Paul, your hope is in the Lord, in His death, in His resurrection. Your hope is in the eternal life that He has won for you and is freely given to you. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.